what's happening with the Pentagon's UFO office, and national park passes for the military community. All of that and more today, July 5th, 2023. Good morning, early birds. I'm Jonathan Lehrfeld, and this is the Early Bird Brief, produced by Defense News and Military Times. Hope everyone had a very nice 4th yesterday. First up, President Joe Biden is expected to host Sweden's prime minister at the White House today. The visit is meant to be a show of solidarity as the United States presses for the Nordic nation's entry into NATO. Its bid is stalled by objections from two members of the Western Military Alliance. The White House said in a statement that Biden and Prime Minister Ulf Kristersson plan to review the growing security cooperation and reaffirm their view that Sweden should join NATO as soon as possible. The leaders will also discuss China and the war in Ukraine. You might remember that Sweden and its neighbor Finland dropped their long-standing military neutrality after Russia invaded Ukraine in February 2022. They applied for NATO membership, seeking protection under the organization's security umbrella. Finland joined NATO in April. Just days ago, Finnish Prime Minister Petteri Orpo said he's cautiously watching Russia even more so now that Finland is a member of the alliance.
Yes, we have 1,300 kilometers common border with them. We have taken care of it. But of course, now it's EU border and also NATO border. And we don't know exactly what is happening in Russia in the near future or in future. That's why we have to strengthen our...
Sweden's ascension, however, has been delayed by Turkey and Hungary. NATO requires the unanimous approval of all members to expand. There has been hope the road to Sweden's membership would be smoothed out before the alliance's summit July 11th and 12th in the capital of Lithuania. But Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has resisted. His government accused Sweden of being too lenient toward groups that it says pose a security threat, including militant Kurdish organizations and people associated with a 2016 coup attempt in Turkey. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said he would gather senior officials from Turkey, Sweden, and Finland tomorrow to try to overcome Turkey's objections. In other news, Military Times reporter and podcast producer Zimon Perez joins us to talk about what we commonly know as UFOs and some updates to the Pentagon office tracking them. So Z, could you first lay out what exactly is a UAP and what is the Pentagon office in charge of tracking them?
Yeah, so a UAP is an unidentified anomalous phenomenon. And that's kind of been evolving in the public realm for quite some time. It previously was the same acronym, but unidentified aerial phenomenon. And then that obviously stems from unidentified flying object or UFO. But the goal of saying UAP was to make it more all-encompassing of saying unidentified anomalous phenomena meant that it isn't just our skies that are being monitored for unknown tech or things happening that we can't exactly put a point to. It also means that in our seas, on our land even. So that's just a bit more all-encompassing of a term instead of just UFO. And the Pentagon office is called the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, and its acronym, I think, is the coolest out of all of the federal government. The acronym is AARO. So AARO was stood up in 2022 after the 2022 National Defense Authorization Act. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, a New York Democrat, she introduced an amendment that replaced the Office of Naval Intelligence's UAP Task Force with the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, or AARO. And Gillibrand said the goal was to restructure how intelligence is shared between the Pentagon and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence.
And what are some of the changes or additions that have come out of the Senate's defense and intel budget bills in regard to that office?
So there are two major changes, each stemming from its own budget bill. So on the defense side, the defense budget bill is funding the office fully, and that is in stark contrast to previous years, and we'll get into that later. But we don't have exact numbers on what fully funded means. During a committee hearing, we know that the initial request, according to Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, that the requested funding from the administration was $11 million for the office. So we're assuming something higher than that. We tried to reach out to Gillibrand's office for comment. We couldn't get anything. They wouldn't even say whether it was a substantial increase or what that even would look like. So that remains to be seen. But on the intelligence budget side, the Intelligence Authorization Act has some language about unidentified object reporting from government contractors. So in the Senate's text of the Intelligence Authorization Act, current or former government contractors would have 60 days to turn over any unidentified object data that they've come across to the Pentagon Office Aero. They'd also would be required to provide a, quote, comprehensive list of all non-Earth origin or exotic unidentified anomalous phenomena material to the office. So, and this gives the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office a greater role in coordinating the government's response to these phenomena.
Why is the fact we're fully funding the office such a big deal? We fully fund defense offices and actions all the time, right? Why is this any different?
Well, believe it or not, no matter how much UFOs or UAP are growing in popularity in the mainstream among the American public, the funding hasn't always shown it. You know, in February of this year, Senator Marco Rubio, a Florida Republican, and Senator Gillibrand, along with 12 other of their colleagues, sent a letter to the Deputy Director of National Intelligence and the Deputy Secretary of Defense, and they were calling for full funding of the Anomaly Office. They said that the Biden administration's request for 2023 failed to fund anything besides the office's basic operating expenses. So yes, we do regularly fund things fully, but so it's a big deal just given the place it is within the American public's mind right now. Like I always say, and emphasizing the importance of this reporting, not every American's going to go to Ukraine. Not every American citizen's going to see a HIMAR or ride in an aircraft carrier or even serve in the military. But we all have a sky above us, right? And so this has really captured America's attention and really catapulted discussions of UAP and UFOs into the mainstream. And so to fully fund the office, it gets away from just monitoring and really gets to searching out answers of what these objects are in our skies. You know, we have the videos of Navy pilots interacting with these objects, watching them move at speeds that they had never seen. And these guys fly jets, right? So this isn't like they're driving, you know, a broken down Honda Civic. They are flying some of the finest aircraft in the history of mankind and are still amazed at what these objects are doing in the sky. So this is a sign that we might be getting closer to some answers about what exactly these objects are that are startling even our military pilots. Although whether we are told as journalists and as the broader American public does remain to be seen.
Very interesting. Thanks, Z. For more conversations like that one, please like and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Another important story, though a warning to listeners, this story discusses the topic of suicide. The military recently released statistics on the number of deaths by suicide for the first quarter of this year. The Army reported the highest increase of those deaths. According to the Defense Suicide Prevention Office, the number of suicides across the active duty military increased from 75 in the first quarter of 2022 to 94 in the first quarter of 2023. The Army experienced the highest increase in suicides, with 49 reported deaths by suicide in the first 3 months of 2023. That's compared to 37 a year ago. This comes as the service still waits for its suicide prevention regulation. An Army spokesperson said in an email that the service is working urgently but deliberately to complete that effort. The Marine Corps also experienced an increase, as did the Air Force, while the Navy and Space Force reported no increases from a year ago. The Pentagon's Office for Prevention said to be wary of interpreting the data, warning about comparisons across groups and/or interpreting changes in suicide counts across time, because counts do not account for changes in population size. Anyone experiencing suicidal thoughts can get assistance 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by calling 988. Additional contact information for the Veterans Crisis Line can be found in this story on MilitaryTimes.com. Also on the radar for today, for folks looking for vacation destinations this summer, our team has some ideas to get you outdoors. Service members, veterans, and their families can access national parks and other government land free of charge without having to renew the pass each year. The Interagency Military Pass covers entrance fees at a variety of government lands, including the National Park Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Forest Service, and Bureau of Land Management. Instead of renewing the pass each year, families can receive a lifetime pass. According to a statement from the Secretary of the Interior, a lifetime pass can be used to cover admission into the land for the driver and passengers traveling in the same vehicle. Veterans can present a DOD identification card, veteran health identification card, veteran identification card, or a driver's license with a veteran's designation to get the pass. This pass is an alternative to the annual military pass, which has been available to active duty service members since 2012. And now, here are some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. In case you missed it, the Navy announced Friday that it is halting a plan to force the service's recruiters to work 6 days a week. China's defense minister reaffirmed the country's military relations with Russia during a meeting this week with the head of Russia's Navy. This was the first formal military talks between the friendly neighbors since the Russian mercenary Wagner Group's short-lived mutiny. In case you missed it, the Israeli Defense Ministry announced over the weekend that Israel will buy 25 F-35 aircraft from the United States. The deal increases Israel's arsenal of the stealth fighter jets by 50%. The same day, the Syrian military said in a statement that Israel carried out airstrikes on areas in Syria, causing material damage, but no casualties. The Israeli military said a Syrian anti-aircraft missile exploded over Israeli territory, prompting another round of strikes. This news all came ahead of Israel carrying out strikes and deploying hundreds of troops into a militant stronghold in the occupied West Bank Monday. And in case you missed it, a Biden administration review of the State Department's performance during the chaotic evacuation of Americans and Afghan allies was released late last week. It found the department failed to do enough planning before the collapse of the U.S.-backed government in Afghanistan. And on this day in history, in 2002, American baseball player and Hall of Famer Ted Williams passed away. Williams, whose career was interrupted by military service during World War II and the Korean War, was the last player to hit 400 or better in Major League Baseball. He was 83. That's it for us this morning. To get more of the top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at defense_news and at Military Times. The Early Bird Brief is hosted by me, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and produced by Zimone Z. Perez. Today's episode features stories by The Associated Press and Zimone Perez. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Gruss. Have a great day.